here in Jeremiah 50, where it talks about many kings will be coming. Now we are kings, and this context is, it's really talking about that last day of the gospel on this earth, when the rapture occurs, and we have been given our resurrected bodies. And now we are kings in the eternal sense, and we're fully endowed to reign with Christ forevermore in the new heaven and the new earth that is coming out of the end of this earth. And we will be reigning with him, and we are a nation of kings. And notice it says, shall be raised from the coasts of the earth. And where do in, and we're going to find that this language is talking about the rapture, where are the true believers found? The coasts are like the word isles, have to do with all the continents. Everywhere in the world, wherever there is a true believer, this one is caught up, the other one is left, who's not a true believer. And we are the ones who are in view, as our salvation has been entirely completed, and now we are a king forevermore in total fact. It's not just the fact that we are now as ambassadors of Christ, now we reign with Christ as kings. And they are raised up from the coasts of the earth. The focal point of this passage is, we're going to find, as we have found in so many other places, is the time of the rapture. This is when this war is going to go on. And again, it's the Battle of Armageddon. This nation that comes from the north, we're going to see that they're riding on horses and so on, and all of that is pointing right to the time of the rapture. As a matter of fact, look at the next verse, 42. They shall hold the bow and the lance. And then, in other words, they're an army. They're an army. They are cruel and will not show mercy. We talked about that at another time. Cruel here is not that we're vicious, that we're just horrible people, but where God defines the word cruel right here, there is no mercy. And the reason there is no mercy is because the day of salvation has ended. Until the day of salvation, for the unsaved of the world, there is mercy, 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 mercy. God is merciful, and as he cares for the unsaved, just as he does for the believers. And for the believers, of course, we receive the full cup of God's mercy in that he saved us. But once the day of judgment comes, there is no more mercy. And it isn't because the people suddenly, who are the true believers, who are being raptured, suddenly change. No, it is because God's plan has come to an end. There is no mercy. There's no way to have mercy, because all that is left is the judgment of God on those who enter into the day of judgment. And this we're learning that again and again, the real big punishment is the fact that the true believers are being raptured in the sight of those who thought that they were safe and secure in Christ. So it goes on. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and will not show mercy, and their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses. There's a very interesting or significant parallel passage in Isaiah chapter 5 that gets into this matter of they shall roar like the sea. And it's a very well parallel passage, and I'd like to just spend a couple minutes in that. In Isaiah chapter 5, we read in verse 26, beginning in verse 26, and he shall lift, that is, God shall lift up an ensign to the nations from far. whenever you read about an ensign or a flag, that has to refer to the Lord Jesus. He is that flag signifies what kingdom is there, and Christ is the very essence of the kingdom of God. And the flag signified the whole nation. But anyway, he will lift an ensign, that is, Christ will be there, and will hiss unto them from the end of the world. That word hiss means to whistle, and it can be used in a good sense or a bad sense. It can be used at whistling at to ridicule someone, or it can be used in the, it's used in the Bible to whistle, to call like whistling for your dog when he's running way out over there. He understands your whistle, and when you whistle, here he comes. And in very great obedience, when God whistles for us, we come. And here he's using it in that sense. I will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, that's all over the world, and will whistle unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary or stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. That's a very significant phrase. The girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. What's that talking about? Well, you know, in the Bible, when God is talking about the shame of sin and the fact that God sees sin in our life, is because we are spiritually naked. And to be without shoes is also a synonym or a picture, a metaphor that's speaking about being in God's sight spiritually naked. Remember when Moses stood by the burning bush, what was he told? Take your shoes off. You are exposed. You are a human being. I see all of your weaknesses and sins and so on. You're standing in the presence of Holy God. Remember when Joshua was ready to go against the city of Jericho? He met this man. With a sword in his hand, and he asked him, are you for the other side, or are you on our side? And this individual turned out to be Christ himself, as he says, take off your shoes, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. You are a human being, and I see your sins. I see you are, here it is saying that these people that we're reading about in Isaiah chapter 5, that their loins, the girdle of their loins shall not be loosed, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed. In other words, they are securely robed with Christ's righteousness. Their salvation is complete, in other words. They're securely robed in Christ's righteousness, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. They're not barefoot. There's no shame seen anymore. Their salvation is complete. And when will our salvation be complete? So that we can say that this kind of language refers to us at the moment we receive our resurrected bodies. That is still required. Work with us, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. And we're going to look at that word horses in a little bit when we get back to Isaiah 50. Their roaring is like a lion, and when does the lion roar? When it has captured its prey, when it's killed its prey, then it roars because it has been victorious. They shall roar like young lions, yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them, the prey, who are the prey, like the roaring of the sea. And remember, we've learned a long time ago that the word sea can be a reference to the wrath of God. For example, we read in the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation 21, and the seas are no more. Once all has been completed and all the earth and the universe has been annihilated and it's gone, this will happen, then the seas are no more. There's nothing more for God to bring his wrath against. All the true believers are forever with the Lord Jesus. But now the sea is roaring. That is referring to the day of judgment. The lion is roaring. The seas are roaring. And the day of judgment begins on that day when the armies of heaven are there to bring the final assault against those who are subject to the day of judgment. And again, it gets to the fact of the rapture, that unsaved of the world who believe they are saved. These are all the people in all the churches, particularly, they are convinced that they are secure, and now they're left behind, and here comes this fantastic condemnation against them. That fantastic condemnation, because they see these other people who they thought were nuts, who they thought were out of their mind, who they thought were a long ways away from truth, being caught up to be with Christ, and so they are being condemned. Not a word is being said, not a word, there's no sound, except the weeping and the gnashing of teeth of those that are left behind. This is the big, big suffering that the church age is going, the end of the churches are going to experience, and they're going to come into this. Everyone that is left in the churches on that day will experience this. And so but this is what it's talking about as we come from all over the world, being raised, and we come like the armies of heaven. Remember what we read in Revelation chapter 19, there we read in verse 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." It's absolutely the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. "And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." Here we have the rapture. This is what this is talking about. Christ is coming, and he resurrects all of his true believers, and they are typified as riding on horses, because they are from heaven. We are now totally identified with heaven, and we are coming as a tremendous condemnation. And remember, where the wages of sin is death. When we sin, that sin condemns us. It is like God is striking us with a sword right at the point where the moment Adam and Eve sinned, they died. It brings death. But the final condemnation, again, when we bring the word and people rebel against the word, we're not getting into a physical war of some kind. We're not taking a sword out of our side and hitting them or anything. There's no physical blood that is seen. And yet every time somebody disobeys God, not a word has been said. It's absolutely silent. And yet it's like God with his sword is killing them right there. The wages of sin is death. And This and Christ comes as a consuming fire. Remember, we read in Hebrews chapter 13, Christ is a consuming fire, and that's a figure again to indicate that he comes as the Word and to destroy, like fire will destroy. And so when the evidence is there, as these people are seen being raptured, it is an enormous assault on those left behind. They are just being destroyed left and right spiritually. This is the battle that is being talked about, and that is talked about all through the Bible. We can find passages after passages that relate to that, and that's why they're roaring like the sea. That is, it is the roaring of the final victory. God's justice has been finally completely taking place, and everything now has come to an end insofar as God's whole salvation and justice program, every aspect of it. And this is what we're looking here. Then it goes on, they're in a battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. And remember, that same verse is found in Jeremiah 6, where it says, against thee, O daughter of Zion. And the daughter of Zion is the churches that have for 1955 years been supposed to be representing the kingdom of God. And then we read in verse 43 of Jeremiah 50, the king of Babylon hath heard the report. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs of a woman in travail. And again, that is a clue phrase again, speaking of bringing us again to the end. Remember, just to refresh our memory, remember in 1 Thessalonians 5, where God is talking about judgment on the churches, there says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. That's the rapture time. They're under the wrath of God, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That's a clue phrase. Whenever we see that, we have to be looking at that day when it's like a woman who's with child, that there's going to be the pain of delivering that child, and yet it's going to come. She doesn't know when it's going to be, the exact moment at all. This is in the days before C-sections, but she doesn't know, and she doesn't even know if she's going to live through it. In fact, a lot of women died. Historically, a pregnancy was like a death sentence. But here it is, it says that Satan, the king of Babylon, that is all of those that he rules over in the churches, hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. And it's going to come. It's absolutely going to come. Now we come to another verse that is, for me, it's been very difficult. I've looked at this because it's found in a couple of other places in the book of Jeremiah, and I struggled and struggled, and finally I believe I know what God is teaching here. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan under the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is me? Who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before us? And that is the verse that we want to begin with in our next study, as it's talking about He shall come like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan. You know, one of the problems in our day is that we can't get any help from former theologians. You know, I look at a verse like this, and maybe you've done this also, and you look at what Matthew Henry had to say about that, or the pulpit commentary says about that, or what John Calvin said about that, or anybody else, that whatever set of theological books you might have, and you can't learn anything. Whatever they have to say, you immediately say, oh, no, you have that all wrong. It can't be that, but that doesn't mean you've been helped yet, and it forces you on your knees to begin to pray some more. Oh Lord, you have to show me, because I, and you keep comparing scripture with scripture, and pretty soon finally it comes through. Well, we're going to look at this verse in our next study. We'll begin right there.